9 o'clock. Thanks for joining us. Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. It's time for Mav Day when we talk with Colorado Mesa coaches and athletes. Coming up, we'll talk with Chris Hanks, the skipper of the number one team in Division II baseball. Colorado Mesa heading to San Angelo, Texas, with the Super Regional scoring off against the Angelo State Rams. Also, we'll talk with Maverick center fielder Rob Sherrar, hit the big home run in the win against St. Edwards on Saturday to clinch the Mavericks' half of the South Central Region Tournament. That's all coming up, plus your chance to win some Junior College World Series tickets from us here on the radio station. Also want to thank, of course, the folks over at the JUCO Baseball Office for those tickets. So your chance to win a pair of tickets, a couple of pairs this hour on the program. All right, so text or call us, 970-242-1340. And right now it's time to talk Maverick baseball with the skipper, Chris Hanks.
Talking CMU baseball with Mav skipper Chris Hanks on the team.
And joining us right now, the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, coach of the number one team in Division II baseball, Chris Hanks. Chris, appreciate the time. Congratulations on the regional win against St. Edwards with the 7-4 victory on Saturday. And I know for your ball club, you try to remind these guys, look, let's, number one, manage the attaboys. Number two, let's have fun playing. And I think your guys certainly show that throughout the course of the regional to be able to bring that win, bring that win in on Saturday, that 7-4 victory. You had to come back from being down at one point 3-0 in that baseball game.
Yeah, you know, we've really been preaching to the guys to make sure they're having fun, but with a lot of focus. And, you know, they're a resilient bunch. We got down, but we've battled back, and it didn't surprise me at all. But we would like to get leads and not play from behind.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's not a good place to be in. But you were able to, as I mentioned, come back from being down 3-0. You got the bloop by Conrad Villaforte. Rob Sherrar got aboard on a single. And then a sack bunt by Julian Boyd, and then Rob stole third, and then came around to score on Conrad's base hit. And that's why I think one of the impressive things about your lineup, Chris, is that you got guys that can hit for some power, no doubt about that. First team in program history to have 100 home runs and 100 stolen bases in a season. But the way that when called upon to manufacture runs, this team is executed time and time again.
Yeah, they have. You know, we ask them to just battle at the plate, especially with two strikes, and don't go quietly into the night, so to speak. And the guys are pretty good with shortening up, battling, putting the ball in play, and giving us a chance.
Christo Stefanos, I thought, had a really big regional for you. I believe he homered in every single game. Hit his 8th home run in Saturday's game. Unfortunately for Christos, he ended up getting ejected, but he had a really strong regional series for you.
Yeah, you know, he was the guy we put in the lineup. He can really do some damage. You know, there's some swing and miss in there with him, but boy, if he connects, you know, he can hit a long way. So he was strategically placed there to just, you know, try to run into something, and he had a good weekend, and he did just that.
And then Rob Sherrar continues to have an impressive season. The home run for Rob as well that was part of the power explosion that you guys had in that game.
Yeah, Rob's been Mr. Steady. You know, he's always a tough at-bat and extremely tough out. He has a chance to leave the yard. He can bunt for a hit, and he's very good with two strikes. So, you know, and he'll walk. He's what you want in a leadoff guy. You just add the power in there, it adds another dimension.
Mav skipper Chris Hanks with us today on the Team Sports Network. Cannon Handy got the ball, pitched the first four innings, gave up the 3 runs, 2 earned on 6 hits, and walk 3, had a couple of strikeouts, but your bullpen, which has been really good this season, really led the way. Cade Nickel, I've been impressed with what I've seen from him this year. Gave up just 1 hit over the next 3 innings, and then he ended up getting the win on Saturday. And then Anthony Durbano, your all-conference closer, just old-school Goose Gossage, 2 innings save in that ball game. Just has had a tremendous season and certainly had another great performance for you on Saturday.
Yeah, he did. You know, it started with Cade, as you mentioned. Cade's a command guy. He changes speeds well. He's very good off the mound, filled in his position. You know, we wanted to stretch him into the 8th, but he felt like he was getting a little tired. forced us to go to DeBano just an inning early. But Bano was effective. He got himself in a little trouble, you know, and I think tried to overthrow a couple of pitches, but at the end of the day, he got the job done. And when he's on the mound, and if we have a lead, we really have a good chance to win.
Chris Hanks, coach of the Cutterman Mesa Mavericks baseball team with us. It's Angelo State again, and I know you're probably watching on Sunday, Chris, and thinking, okay, hey, there's a chance we might get to host this. UT Tyler had that lead in the game. They forced the IF game on Sunday. Unfortunately, Angelo State comes back to win the baseball game, and they'll be hosting. But there was a while there, Chris, that I think Mav fans had a little glimmer of hope that it might be at the Diamond of the Bergman Sports Complex this weekend.
Yeah, you know, it would have been nice to be at home. You know, you never know how that's going to go. Just being at home doesn't guarantee you're going to win. But, you know, we're very comfortable, obviously, playing at home. But we've been at home for a few weeks in a row now, and sometimes it's good to get on the road and get the guys in a hotel. When we're on the road, we have complete knowledge of what they're doing and where they are and a little more control, and you get them all together. So that could be a powerful thing as well, although Angelo's an extremely tough place to play.
And for, I mean, if you're going to go someplace, it might as well be to a place you've been many times before in San Angelo, Texas. You know the lay of the land there. You know that field. What makes that such a difficult place, Chris, to get a victory if you're opposing team?
Well, first of all, they get very big crowds, kind of like us, but probably even bigger. And they're pretty rowdy. They're a lot of heckling. They don't really control their fan base from an administrative standpoint. They let them go, so they're pretty brutal. You know, and it's just, you know, so they have that home crowd behind them, and you're on a turf field. It's a little bit older now. It's very fast. A lot of balls get through the infield. But yet it's a park, depending on the day and the way the wind's blowing, it can be a very hitter-friendly park as well.
They have a .348 batting average, but when you look at the power numbers, they're not exactly anything, you know, eye-popping. It's they've hit 50 home runs this season. Tripp Clark has been their home run leader this year. He's got 9 home runs. He also has 61 RBIs to lead them. It really kind of looks like, if you just look at the numbers for the Rams, that their pitching staff, will talk more about that, but their pitching staff is probably the strong suit for this ball club. But offensively, like I said, they've got some guys that can do a little damage.
Well, they built their team off of pitching and defense, and what they do offensively is a lot of what we try to do. You know, they bunt a whole lot. They actually bunt more than we do. They try to manufacture runs. They're always playing for one run at a time. They steal a bunch of bases if you look at those numbers. They have a real ability. They walk a lot. They get on base. They move runners. They steal. They bunt. They hit and run. Their whole offense is centered around trying to manufacture one run at a time, and they're good at it. So they have a bunch of kids in their lineup that can run. You have to defend the running game, and they're just very active in that regard. And they assume they're going to hold opponents down, you know, on the scoreboard with their pitching. And I think they're leading the country in fielding average at a .984 clip.
Yeah, 183 stolen bases this season. That's definitely the strong suit of what they do offensively. And like you said, pitching with that 3.55 ERA for their team, it's been impressive. And Cade Bragg has been really impressive for them. He's clearly their ace. He's 13-1. He has an ERA of 1.11 right now, which is extremely impressive for what he's been able to do this season. 108 strikeouts, 32 walks. He was a guy that I was talking with Jeremy Bryant from the Angelo State Radio Network. He's a guy that was at Texas Tech previously. But Cade Bragg's a guy most likely you'll see game one coming up on Friday.
Yeah, we're expecting either Bragg or Munson. They've done both, so we'll just see what they do. But Bragg's a 90-mile-an-hour left-handed arm. He throws a lot of fastballs. Munson, their righty, he gets up to 95. So they got power fastball arms. But, you know, we have a good hitting team. So, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, top batting average in D2 baseball. That's what the Mavericks finished up with the season. We're talking with Chris Hanks, coach of the Cutterman Mesa Mavericks baseball team. And for them, Scott Ellis, he's kind of their, I guess, Anthony DeRbano. He's got 4 saves. He's been their probably their best bullpen guy.
Yeah, you know, they have five or six guys that are really good. They have a bunch of Division I kickbacks that they didn't have last year to add with a couple of good returners. You know, and as you mentioned earlier, they hang their hat on their pitching. They think they're going to hold you down in runs, which they really have this year. Largely, that'll be a challenge for us. You know, and then they're going to play good defense. They think they're going to pitch, play good defense, and then they'll just manufacture a small amount of runs, and it'll be enough to win, and that formula's worked for them all year.
Best pitching staff you'll have faced this season with this Angelo State team?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, we've faced kids as good as the people they have, but in terms of their quality and depth throughout the starting rotation and into the bullpen, it'll be the best staff we've seen all year, yes.
And one final thing, kind of away from the field, or it's focused more on the classroom, is Caleb Thomason winning the Summit Award for the highest GPA of anyone playing in the RMAC tournament. Congratulations to Caleb on that award. He's also made some pretty significant contributions playing third base for you.
Yeah, you know, Caleb came to us as a pitcher, third baseman. We haven't really pitched him yet other than in the fall. He's actually pretty good on the mound, too. He's just not a flamethrower, so to speak. But Caleb's got an incredible eye at the plate, very good discipline. You know, he has the ability to leave the yard with a home run. He can hit the ball the other way. And he's really been playing well here as of late, both defensively and at the plate.
All right, so we'll have coverage of the Mavericks taking on Angelo State in the Super Regional this Friday on the Team CMU Sports Network, brought to you by Ken Richards State Farm. Our coverage will start at 5:15 with first pitch at 5:30 from San Angelo, Texas, this Friday night. Chris, always appreciate the time. Congratulations on the regional victory, and go get that spot in the World Series. Good luck this weekend.
Thanks a lot, Jim. I appreciate it.
All right, that's the skipper, Chris Hanks, coach of the Colorado Mesa Mavericks baseball team, the number one team in Division II baseball. But once again, we'll have coverage of that Super Regional this Friday on the Team Sports Network. All right, Maverick center fielder Rob Sherrar is going to join us in just a few minutes. You can text or call us 970-242-1340 if you've got some thoughts on the Nuggets going to the NBA Finals for the first time in franchise history. Something that David Thompson, Dan Issel, Bobby Jones couldn't get done. Likewise for Alex English, Kiki Vandeweghe, Dikembe Mutombo, Carmelo Anthony, and this goes on and on. They couldn't get the Nuggets to the finals, but this group has punched their ticket to the NBA Finals, which will start next Thursday, by the way.
We have a winner for our JUCO Banquet tickets.
All right, very good.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Chris, first time texter, getting
all right
the JUCO Banquet tickets, 4-pack. And I texted him, but Chris, you got to get those by Thursday at 2 o'clock.
Yes, our doors are closed on Friday, so yes. Keep that in mind. All right, so text or call us your reaction to the Nuggets going to their first ever NBA Finals. 970-242-1340, the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line. And do you want to promo next Thursday? We'll be out of Chick-fil-A for our show.
Yeah,
we're gonna have
buddy.
Our last four, final four teams in the Junior College Baseball World Series. We'll have that for you coming up next Thursday out at Chick-fil-A in the Rimrock Marketplace. All right, so coming up next, we'll talk with Rob Sherrar, Mavericks center fielder. He's had a sensational season for the Mavericks, so we'll talk with Rob coming up in a few minutes. Text or call us 970-242-1340. We will take a break, and we'll come back with more. It's Mav Day here on the 9 o'clock hour on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network, online at theteam1340.com.
Cuckoo and loony and crazy.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. Talking Colorado Mesa sports on Mav Day on The Jim Davis Show.
We continue on with Mav Day today as the Colorado Mesa Mavericks baseball team gets ready to head to San Angelo, Texas to score off against Angelo State. Hit a big home run in Saturday's come-from-behind win over St. Edwards to capture the regional and move on to the Super Regional. Mavericks junior center fielder Rob Sherrar joins us. Rob, appreciate the time as always. Good to have you back on with us.
Of course. It's great to be back. Thanks for having me.
And it's even better when we're talking about you guys winning the regional, going to the Super Regional. Take us through the home run that you hit on Saturday, part of that that comeback against St. Edward's.
Well, the big takeaway was me just trying to swing easy. Me and a couple of my teammates have been putting a lot of work in the cage. We keep throwing around the number 75%. We're trying to keep the swing at 75%. It's where the magic happens.
Who you been working on that with? Who's been out there with you in the cage, you know, those hours, that time, you know, working on your swing and trying to really perfect that approach?
Yeah, a lot of the time goes with Harrison Rogers, our shortstop, Julian Boyd, our right fielder, and then Jonathan Gonzalez, our second baseman.
When you look at coming back in that game, because, look, there was still the if game, but it seemed like when you got down 3-0, you wanted to finish it. Kind of like what the Nuggets did to the Lakers last night. You wanted to finish it. You didn't want to play another game. You wanted to get ready to maybe hopefully have a chance to host the Super Regional. But it seemed like you said, okay, we're down 3-0. That's enough. Let's go get this thing, and let's finish it right here in this first game on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was a ton of motives to winning that one game. I mean, playing the doubleheader would have been tough, but we would have been able to handle it. But, you know, we've come back from behind a lot of times this year, and we didn't hit a panic button or anything. I mean, not just me individually. The whole team was still ready to go. We just had to find the momentum there, and we did.
And this is a team, Rob, that's had to win some close games. As you mentioned, had to come back from down 3-0 in that one against St. Edward's. You had that first game against Colorado Christian in the RMAC tournament where you had to come back and win 4-3. You've also had blowout games, the game against Metro State where you put up 20 runs, the 21 runs against Regis. You've been able to, as a group, been able to win games in different ways, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. The thing that stays universal throughout those games is our approach. You know, we're trying to stay aggressive. We're trying to stay focused. The team as a whole is bringing the right approach to the plate. Our pitchers are bringing the right approach to the mound. And, you know, we try and keep that constant regardless of what the score is.
We're talking with Maverick center fielder Rob Sherrar joining us today on the program. You're the leadoff guy, but you also got some pop, as we referenced, in your bat with that home run on Saturday. Kind of take us through the mentality of being a leadoff guy and what that means in terms of taking some pitches. Sometimes you're going to have to walk and get on base. You want to put yourself in scoring position early on. But then there's those opportunities where you're able to go out and do some damage with a big swing.
Yeah, yeah. And quite honestly, I don't much see the difference between the leadoff spot and any other spot in the lineup. You know, you're looking for a pitch to hit. You're not swinging at anything out of the zone. You know, early in the count, you're looking for your pitch, whatever that might be. And, you know, you're keeping the approach simple. The objective's to get on base. And that goes through 1-9.
We're talking with Rob Sherrar, Maverick center fielder, with us today on the Team Sports Network. This is the first Maverick team in the history of the program. We're talking about some outstanding teams that have gone to carry North Carolina to the World Series, the year they had it in Texas as well. But the first time ever, Rob, that a Maverick baseball team has hit 100 home runs and had 100 stolen bases in a season. And you've been a big part of that, you and Julian Boyd and Harrison Rogers and Conrad Villafuerte and others. But, I mean, that says a lot about how good this team is, where we've talked about the expectation was maybe this team might take a step or two back with all the talent that graduated from last year. But you guys did something that group didn't do last year and nobody's ever done before in Maverick history.
Yeah, I mean, that's been a pleasure to watch. We've all been trying to hone in our game since the fall, and we've worked hard. You know, we had a chip on our shoulder because we heard all about that, too, how we thought, or some people thought this would be like a build year because we lost so much talent last year. But to see us not only succeed but blow those expectations out of the water, you know, it's great.
Now it's Angelo State. You get to go back there again. We're kind of hoping on Sunday, the way things were going with UT Tyler and Angelo State, that maybe Tyler would come up with the upset. You'd be hosting them for the Super Regional, but unfortunately that didn't work out that way. You have to go back to San Angelo, Texas, to play Angelo State, team you faced last year to go to Cary, North Carolina. Outstanding pitching, and that's kind of the thing that they hang their hat on, Rob. This is going to be some really good arms that you face in Super Regional play starting on Friday.
Yeah, we look forward to it. we always look forward to the competitive at-bats, you know, taking competitive pitches, getting the right pitches. I think the team's going to be locked in for that. And as well as not hosting the Super Regional, we'll be able to handle that. You know, there's been years in the past where we should have hosted the Super Regional. You know, teams in the past, they didn't have the Bergman Stadium. And with the JUCO World Series going on at the same time, they'd always have to go to Angelo or wherever else they had to go for the Super Regional. So we'll be able to handle that. We feel at home, away, for a Super Regional, if that makes sense.
And you guys have been there before to San Angelo, Texas. And I know I was talking with the skipper, Chris Hanks, about what makes that tough. It's an older turf field. They do get really good crowds at Angelo State, like you do here at Bergman Field, but they get some perhaps even bigger crowds to watch Rams baseball down there. But the fan base is an interesting base. They tend to be very vocal. As Coach Hanks said, they tend to probably not be controlled by administration where they should be. But, I mean, those are just some of the challenges you guys face coming up on Friday. But those are all things that you've experienced before when you've gone down there, of course, as early as last year.
Yeah, the crowd is not really of concern to me. The heckling is just part of the game, and I think it adds to the playoff atmosphere. You know, it's about how you handle it. It's just heckling, and I think it makes the game fun, puts a smile on your face if you let it.
And I think there's, you know, in talking to guys that I know that have played, that there's just abusive heckling. It's not creative. It's just mean-spirited. But when there's occasionally there's one where you just kind of go, okay, that was kind of funny. Have you ever had one of those where somebody's directed one at you and it's like, okay, that was a kind of a funny little barb that you sent my way?
Yeah, last year at Angelo, I was able to hear most of the heckling towards other teammates. I didn't do much playing there, but you know, I was doing my job as the I was going out and warming up my right fielder in between innings, and a few of the fans up the first baseline, you know, they said something like, "Hey man, you keep doing this, you're going to get MVP for ball boy." And you know, it made me laugh. I let it let me laugh because it was funny. It was good.
And how good does that feel that you're going from warming up your right fielder, warming up a Julian Boyd or whoever, to now being out there and being a big part of it? So much for that ball boy stuff, right?
Yeah, it feels great. And not that it's anything about those fans, that, you know, that I owe them a show or anything, but it this whole year has felt great to kind of switch my own role. And I'm willing to say that I put the work in to earn it, too. You know, my teammate, John Gonzalez, Harrison Rogers, Julian Boyd, Conan Villafuerte, we've all put in so much work together to where, you know, they're accredited to my success too as well.
What have they done to help you develop into the player that you are? Take us through that a little bit. I mean, other than, you know, they're obviously supportive and you guys have all, you know, emerged as leaders of this baseball team for this 2023 season. But maybe a thing or two that some of the guys have done that have really helped you personally get to where you are, Rob.
Yeah, we act as leaders to ourselves amongst our peers in times of, like, struggling and, you know, regarding mental approach or anything, mechanics. We've gotten so accustomed to each other's swings, to how we think, that we're able to pinpoint what's going on when someone's failing. And, you know, me personally, I've been helped with, mechanically, during a game, if I come up to Julian or Harrison, I go, "Hey, what'd you see?" I get a response like that, and they're usually right. I mean, we've been around each other for so long. They've seen my swing so many times. They're able to pinpoint that. And same goes for them. If, you know, if they ever ask me what's going on or what I think, I'm very comfortable with answering on the spot.
All right, Rob, a couple questions to ask you that have nothing to do with what you do for the Mavericks. Maybe possibly tied in a little bit, but, favorite baseball team, favorite baseball player for you all time?
Oh, man. Favorite baseball player is tough. I'd have to go, I wear number 9, too. I'd have to go Ted Williams as my favorite baseball player of all time, even though I've never seen him play. I just loved his attitude. Anything that I've ever read about him has been like, wow, this guy's awesome. And then favorite MLB team is the Dodgers. I grew up watching the Dodgers.
Still like you, Rob. You're still a good guy. You're welcome to the program anytime, even with that. So, Being a being a long suffering Rockies fan. Okay, so.
Yeah, you know what? I got condolences. Is what I'll say.
Thank you. That's what. Thank you. I appreciate it. Condolences. I do appreciate that. I appreciate the sympathy this morning.
How awesome! But as for an individual team, and the Dodgers has been my favorite to watch. The late, you know, going into the 2010s, 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, with Matt Kemp, and that team was super fun to watch as a kid. But obviously, you know, 2017. 2018, 2019, and then the winning year, I think it was 2020 for the World Series. That team was just great to watch with the explosion of talent that came out of nowhere.
Okay, if you were stuck on a deserted island and you only had one thing that you could eat, what would it be? Favorite thing?
It's got to be Chipotle. If I could eat Chipotle for the rest of my life for every meal, I would.
Okay. What's the one thing you will never eat?
Gosh, probably like if this island was full of artichokes or something, I'd starve.
Not even some guac? Not a little guac on the Chipotle?
Did you ask what thing I wouldn't eat?
One thing you wouldn't eat. Obviously, you'll eat Chipotle, but the one thing that you will never eat, what is that? Deserted island or not? Just, no, never going to eat that.
Gosh, it's got to be something funky, something to do with fish.
Right.
It's got to be like, I don't even. You know what's always grossed me out is the platter that comes just like a full fried fish. I don't think I'd ever dig into that.
Eyes and all.
It's got the eye and everything, and yeah, it's just creepy.
Yeah, it's got
just
the eyeballs in it. It's probably got the brains, the intestines. It's just like, what?
Mm-hmm. I'm with
liver
you on
and
that.
Onions, too.
Now I'm with you. Yeah, liver and onions. Bear jerky. A guy that used to coach football here in town, Dan Gallus, coached at Grand Junction, gave me bear jerky one time. It's the most disgusting thing I've ever tasted. You do not
really?
Want to eat. Yeah, it's absolutely. It was the greasiest, nastiest thing I think I've ever tasted.
Oh, man. You know, it's funny. My dad had a friend that gave us some bear jerky, and it was great. I wonder if something had to go wrong in that.
Maybe because it was bad, Rob. Trust me.
Bear may have had a diet.
Thank goodness
line.
I didn't experience that.
Yeah, it was. Well, I'm glad we've had different experiences with bear jerky when we've sampled it. If let's say favorite artist, favorite music artist, who would that be? Or artist? We'll give you a couple here.
This one's easy. Favorite all time is the Eagles. I could listen to the Eagles for the rest of my life. After that. Probably go Led Zeppelin, and then
Rob, are you like 60 years old? Are you about my age? Because that sounds like
great,
that sounds like stuff that I like. So
yeah, you can interview anyone from my team. They're all going to tell you I'm an old soul. I love this old music. I can't really stand the new stuff.
Okay, favorite Eagles song, favorite Zeppelin song.
Favorite Eagles song, I have to go Lion Eyes.
Great.
It's like six minutes long of awesomeness. And then
Bernie Ladin, early era Eagle stuff, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then favorite Led Zeppelin song, probably Hey Hey, What Can I Do?
Oh, yeah, which they never
That's
released.
Off the board, yeah.
Which they never That's released the on an album.
Best Eagles solo career. Henley, Walsh, Frey, Felder.
It's got to be Walsh. Because, I mean, one of my favorite songs is... I'm drawing a blank right now, but
the Rocky Mountain Way.
Oh man, no, he talks about he got a mansion. Don't know the price. I've never been there.
Oh, it's Life's Been Good.
Life's Been Good to Me.
Yeah,
Life's Been Good to Me.
Which the Eagles sing on that song too. Yeah, it's a great song. Check out another one. I recommend Meadows from Joe Walsh.
Okay.
It has, it
I'll literally
like,
check that right after this phone call.
He screams at the beginning of it for like about 20 seconds, and then it gets really, really good. You're like, why is Joe Walsh screaming here? Like he just stuck his hand in a, you know, in a food processor. But trust me, you'll like Meadows. It's a really good song.
All right. I'm definitely giving that a listen.
All right. We've learned a little more about Rob Sherrard today, and I think we're better for it. Hey, Rob, I appreciate it. Thanks. Best of luck to you and the Mavs down in Texas, okay?
Appreciate you, sir. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks for coming on. Rob Sherrard, always a delight.
Yeah.
To talk with Rob Shore, any of the Maverick baseball
Stock
players.
Stock down with the Dodgers. Stock yeah, up
with everything else.
With Zeppelin.
And see, you're not an Eagles
I'm
fan.
I'm not a huge Eagle. It's Eagles. I like. I respect the ability and the talent, and I acknowledge they have great songs. Just not for me.
But is there a song that you hear that you go, okay, I'm going to turn that up a little bit?
Life in the Fast Lane.
Yeah, about the, of course, the Hotel California, the decadence of California in the 70s, mm-hmm. that whole scene, which the Eagles were very much a part of.
This is going to be a little bit of a hot take. Hotel California is the most boring 7 minutes on the planet. Lot of great guitar work. That
take late
song
at the end with Walsh
and, sucks.
And Feldner, but I don't agree, but
it is just like,
I don't think it's the best song on that album. I think Life in the Fast Lane is a great song.
Yeah.
And then
Take It
later
Easy
on,
is a great song too.
And then the Long Run album of Always Loved in the City from Joe Walsh. It was like the word, hey, Joe, you're going to get to do this one.
Mm-hmm.
And In the City's a great song.
This is your song, Joe.
This is it. Go for it.
Yeah. It's like early Kiss always had an ace song, even though he didn't really sing on them. They're all like, right. That's an ace song. Oh, it's a song about booze? That's ace.
Better career, Don Henley or Glenn Frey? Better solo career?
Oh, Glenn Frey. The heat is on. It was in Beverly Hills Cop. It is in a car
Boys
chase
of summer?
In a movie.
Boys of Summer? Dirty nope. Laundry? Come on.
Glenn
Though,
Frey
say,
is in a car.
Smuggler's Blues references Telluride. Yeah. So in defense of Glenn Frey, I'm still going to give the edge, though.
A semi-truck cop pursuit to The Heat Is On.
I'm still going to give the edge to Don Henley, though.
Glenn Frey.
Glenn Frey was a bigger jerk.
That's not part of the question.
He was an absolute total jerk. Referencing Beverly Hills Cop with, mm-hmm. of course, the scene and the heat is on.
No, man, that ain't me. I'm from Buffalo. I love that.
Are you going to watch the Beverly Hills Cop movie on Netflix when it comes out?
Like, not when it comes out, but at some point.
It's on Netflix. You're going to watch it. It's not like you have to go buy a ticket to the theater. It's going to be on whatever you want to watch.
It's not one of those where I'm like, you know what? I got to go. I got to watch this debut weekend or whatever.
Right.
But at some point, I'm sure I'll take it in.
I would hope so.
I would hope so. I think it's going to be.
Isn't I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt's going to be in it, and I forgot who else. There's somebody else fairly well known.
Judge Reinhold in there.
I think Judge Reinhold's going to be in it again.
He has to be.
Well, he has to be. The other guy,
Serge Taggart.
Taggart. I thought Taggart. Is he dead? I thought Taggart was going to be in it. He might be dead. I don't know.
Let's see.
I've heard that Judge Reinhold is going to be in it.
No, John Ashton is going to be there.
Okay, so there you go.
He returns to the role after 35 years. Serge is going to be there. Bronson Pinchot. Judge Reinhold. Paul Reiser is going to be back in it as Jeffrey. That's great. Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Like Paul Reiser, wasn't he like his partner in Detroit?
Yeah, he was the partner in Detroit who crashed the car. You know who else is going to be in the movie, according to Wikipedia?
Who's that?
One of our favorites.
Will Ferrell's going to be in it? Kevin Bacon. Kevin Bacon's going to be in it. I'm glad mine said Will Ferrell. Kevin Bacon. Okay.
Kevin Bacon is supposedly
but is
in
it?
The movie.
I thought Joseph Gordon-Levitt's supposed to be in
he
it,
is.
Too. Okay.
Yeah.
Which
Joseph
just seems,
Gordon-Levitt.
Okay.
Sure.
Why not?
Mark Pellegrino. They named a water after him, I think. So.
All right, so enjoyable conversation with Rob Shirar, which we learned a lot about Rob. He's an old soul, likes the Eagles, likes Led Zeppelin, walks on the beach.
He's one of those guys
and
that
he's not afraid to cry. I don't know about that. I don't know if he's
born at 55 years old. He kind of, you know, he's one of those, at least his musical tastes.
Exactly.
He was born at 55.
Well, you know, our boy Nibsy is very much the same way.
Yeah.
Nibs is very much
but Nibs is like his entire personality born at 55. Way he drives.
Oh, kinda. Totally the way he drives. I'm sorry, Tyler, but yes, the way you drive
the
is
cargo shorts and slip-on shoes.
He's
I'm
not
surprised
as
he doesn't
my,
wear
my,
black socks.
As my brother used to call them Q-tips, the old people driving.
Mm-hmm.
Though he's not a Q-tip, obviously. His hair is not gray. but he drives very much like he could very well be a senior citizen.
God bless him, but
God bless
he
him.
Was born at 65 years old.
Came out of the womb.
Yep.
It's 8 o'clock. I got to go to bed. I'm staying up too late.
Date of birth, November 1961.
All right. 9:38. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy, and it's time for...
That's the story of the greatest sport moment of all of history.
It's time to take a trip back in time. It's This Day in Sports History.
It's been like a remake Tuesday, sequel Tuesday with talking about Days of Thunder. Mm-hmm. Maybe, possibly.
Maybe.
Though I read with Tom Cruise, there was some talk that they were going to do a Days of Thunder series, and he shot that down. I don't know if he owns...
Does he own the rights?
I think
probably?
He might own the rights to it. And he said, nope,
well, that's
not going to happen. All right, 1953, native dancer avenges Kentucky Derby loss with a win at the Preakness. 1976, Boston center Dave Cowens dominates the opener of the NBA Finals against the Phoenix Suns. Cowens with a 25-point, 21-rebound game. Celtics beat the Suns 98-87.
They could use him tonight.
yes, they could. Also, 2009, Alabama's Kelsey Dunn becomes the first player to throw back-to-back no-hitters in NCAA postseason history. It's Dunn's fourth of the season and a school record six for her career, by the way. All right, 9:39, we'll take a break. Got some garbage time coming up, yes.
20 minutes from now, the JUCO bracket will be seeded and announced.
Okay, very good. So we'll have... I think I misspoke, said it was yesterday. It is always Tuesday. I don't know why it said yesterday.
Coming up at 10 o'clock, so we'll have it in our sports updates today.
Which you can check out all day long here on the team. All right, also, quick reminder, we'll have Rockies baseball tonight. Rockies Marlins from Coors Field pregame at 6
tonight. Hey, they played last night, too.
And they won 6-3 last night.
That.
Jerkson Profar, 30-game on-base streak going for Jerkson Profar.
He's been a very nice pickup.
He has.
He's still only hitting .255. Lots of walks. Lots of walks for that guy.
Well, we'll have that game tonight at 6. All right, 9:40. And right now we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets, single-game tickets, to the Alpine Bank Junior College World Series. If you're at the ballpark... Make sure you take your radio along, or if you can't make it to the ballpark, listen to all the action 101.1 FM, 1340 AM here in the Valley, 102.1 along Highway 50. Of course, the mobile app will have it all streaming at theteam1340.com. But we'll take the fifth texter. Text in Go JUCO for a pair of single game tickets. These are actual physical tickets to the Junior College World Series. And text in right now, fifth texter, 970-242-1340. To win the pair of tickets. Also,
have a breaking NFL news right now.
The Broncos informing kicker Brandon McManus, last remaining member of the Super Bowl team, that they're releasing him. So Brandon
maybe
McManus,
they agree with all the fans that said the reason they were losing games is he was missing 61-yard kicks. So
be gone.
So apparently Sean Payton felt the same way.
Yeah.
All right, so Brandon McManus, according to Adam Schefter from the mothership, released by the Broncos. All right, 9:41. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
It's the Western Slopes home of Colorado sports.
Come on!
This is the Jim Davis Show.
Welcome back, 9:45. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Nuggets going to the NBA Finals. Looking forward to that starting next Thursday, June 1st. And that will be over on 1100 KNZZ 92.7 FM because we'll have the Junior College Baseball World Series still going on. We'll also have, speaking of JUCO, more JUCO single game tickets to give away before the show's over today and throughout the week as well. And apparently we have a winner for the tickets, correct?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Chris gets the pair of single-day tickets to the Junior College World Series.
All right, congratulations, Chris. All right, so the Nuggets getting the sweep last night. Here's something that's never happened. simultaneous sweeps in the conference finals have never happened in the NBA and have been rare in the NHL too. So last night with the Panthers win, every series is on the brink of a sweep or already there. Nuggets beat the Lakers 4-0. Done. Heat could do that against the Celtics tonight. Done.
Come on, playoff Jimmy.
Florida leads Carolina 3-0. Vegas leads the Dallas Stars 2-0. So there's a chance, so it's never happened before, that conference finals in the NHL and NBA could all end in sweeps. So we'll see what happens. Vegas, they play Dallas tonight, along with that's in the NHL. Of course, Miami has Boston tonight. And we could find out, could be playoff Jimmy and the Miami Heat against the MVP.
Playoff Joker.
Of the Western Conference playoffs, Nikola Jokic.
Playoff Jimmy against playoff Joker.
So last night, we're gonna take, here's our ESPN moment. We're going to talk about LeBron James for just a second. Because he put up 40, 10, and 9 last night. Played 48 minutes last night.
And they only play 48 minutes in regulation.
Right, too, so keep that in mind. And he talked about retirement after the game. And he still has 1 year left on his deal with the Lakers. You know, he's talked about wanting to play with Bronny, who's going to go to USC.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he stays around another year for that to happen. But are you surprised that he brought up retirement? Because it seems like there's almost a sense that he's never going to retire, right? It's kind of like Brady. He's never going to retire. But because last night's not a game where the writing's on the wall. It's not like a broken down Michael Jordan playing for the Washington Wizards where he's 41 or 42 or whatever. And he's good enough to come off the bench for somebody and probably give you 12 points or 13 points a night. Maybe have a big night and go for 25. LeBron's night was he had 40 points last night.
Right.
And he put them on his back pretty much last night at the age of 38.
I'm not real surprised anytime the season ends that LeBron and retirement come up. Because
he's 38.
And on top of that, he's played 20 seasons in the NBA of regular season basketball. And he's played 280 some odd playoff games. That's an extra 3.5 seasons of basketball interspersed over the last 20 years. So in 20 years, he has played 23.5 seasons of basketball. He's not played every 82 every year. I think he's only done that like once in his career outside of load management. But he's not Kawhi, right? If he's playing 50 games, it's because he's been hurt. He's usually a 65, 70, 80 game guy. So he's been playing a crap load of games. So when he gets to 38 and it's at the end of the road of the season and he's like, yeah, you know what? I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
And he has a lot of other interests now. Yeah. Producing films and TV, and he's got other things that he does. And so he's now at that point where maybe basketball isn't the biggest priority for him anymore.
Yeah, and that's understandable. I mean, he got to a point where he's only going to extend his scoring record. You know, I think he's also realized that no matter what he does, he's always going to be chasing Mike. No matter, he could win the next 4 championships and he'd still be chasing Michael Jordan.
Everybody said, Michael's still better than you. MJ's still better.
Just because people don't like LeBron, and that's fine. And I think he's kind of come around to being comfortable in his own skin with his own legacy, I think, a little bit. And that allows him to contemplate, yeah, you know what? Maybe I don't want to do this anymore. But I'm not surprised because he's 38, you know? He should have been retired by now, not scoring 40 points and dragging his team into a competitive game 4.
But even with that, only scored 8 points in the second half.
It's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. All right, let's move on. 9:51, let's open up the lid and hop in It's garbage time.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
Oh, I love trash.
All right. Hey, ESPN, maybe show the Nuggets celebrating a little more before you show LeBron James. Maybe acknowledge that Denver just swept the Lakers and they're going to their first ever NBA Finals. Maybe spend a little more time on that before you start showing LeBron walk into the tunnel. I get it. He's part of the story. But let the to the victors go the spoils. To the victor, they should get at least a minute of nothing but watching the Nuggets celebrate their first ever NBA Finals appearance before you start showing LeBron James. I'm just saying, ESPN. I'm just saying.
Well, and this is totally the Nuggets' fault. Because they swept the Lakers, and now there's going to be 9 days between now and the first game of the finals to where people are only going to really be talking about the Lakers. Maybe May 31st, about 5 p.m. Mountain Time, is when they'll be like, oh, by the way, the Nuggets are still playing.
In the 2 minutes after Denver won the won the game to go to the finals, ESPN's cameras focused on the Nuggets for 4 seconds, then cut away from the Nuggets for about 90 straight seconds to show LeBron James.
And I don't know why, but it doesn't bother me because I'd much rather be the snake in the grass than this is the greatest team on the thing, and this is that, and this is the whole thing, and then maybe go out lose to playoff Jimmy. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like I'd much rather be the, wow, I didn't know the Nuggets were this good because no one ever talked about them.
I'm going to say, how about show them for 30 seconds at least celebrating? You don't have to sit there and talk about this, the greatest team ever, but at least give them some of their, give them their just due. That's all I'm saying.
Because ESPN doesn't care. What are they going to do?
I know. What a shock. They don't care. Lisa Salters, what do you know? Nikola Jokic is a pretty good player. Mark Jackson doesn't put him on his MVP ballot. No wonder.
Alienate Nuggets fans and Nuggets Nation and the Nuggets as a team. What really is the cost for them? But if they alienate Lakers and Lakers fans and Laker Nation, because everybody's got a nation or a country or a zip code, you know, you lose more. They don't care about Nuggets fans. They don't care whether we show the Nuggets celebrating or not. And Nuggets fans should be on Fanatics buying their Western Conference champion gear instead of
probably
like
true.
2, 3, 4. They cut to LeBron.
I'm just
of course they did.
Just saying that. Come on.
I mean, you. I understand.
We know they're going to do that. It doesn't surprise us, but still, come on.
It's like when it goes yellow on the stoplight, and then it goes red, and you're like, why did that light go red? Because that's good. That's what it does.
Glenn Kuiper is now the former play-by-play guy of the Oakland A's.
There you go.
It was announced that NBC Sports California, which broadcasts the A's, decided to fire Kuiper, worked on Cinco de Mayo, calling the A's game against Kansas City. During the pregame show, he attempted to say that he and his broadcast partner, Dallas Braden, former A's pitcher, had gone to the Negro League Museum in Kansas City earlier in the day. Instead, he used the N-word. He apologized later in the broadcast, was suspended the following day, got fired Monday. Kuiper confirmed that he was informed by NBC execs that after a 20-year broadcasting career at the A's, my contract was terminated. He took to Twitter that he wanted to educate himself about baseball's history by going to the Negro League Museum. He said, I rushed through the word Negro, which resulted in my unfortunate mispronunciation. Please know racism is no way part of me and never has been, never will be. Is it right for them to can him for this? Was it an honest mistake?
I don't know.
But it's tough, right? Because he said the word.
Right.
He said the word when he was talking about the Negro League Baseball Museum. And so
I don't know if there's anything to do but fire him, you know.
I don't think that Glenn Kuiper's a racist. I'd like to think he's not. I don't know that for certain. I like to think he's sincere about that. But that word was rattling around your head for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure what that reason was, but it was rattling around in his head. It's a tough way for his broadcast career to probably end, because I don't know who's going to hire him.
After, no, he's done, I think.
After something like that happens. All right, that's our show for today. Right now, give you your final chance this morning. We'll have more this week, but your last chance this morning to win a pair of single-game tickets to the upcoming Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series. Take Texter 5, put Go JUCO on your text. Please put your first name, last name in your text to win a pair of tickets. And they are physical tickets, by the way. They're not digital tickets. And text right now on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. Fifth Texter wins a pair of single-game tickets to the Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series, which starts this Saturday. Catch all the action on the Team Sports Network. For the Buckeye Boy, I'm Jim Rome.